of that, that you have worked in our hearts and lives in such a way to turn us from our own sin and rebellion through the gospel and the good news of Jesus, in such a way that we would even desire to want to worship you, to be like you, and that we would even able to experience one who feels called to be about the transforming work of the gospel in ministry full time. And so we count it as a blessing to be a part of the service tonight, Lord, and we ask that even in the service that you would continue to be merciful to us and pour your grace out in this place. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Well, I want to share a little bit tonight just about what the ordination council was like, so you'll have a basic idea of what it is that we did and some of the things that Chris answered and shared his thoughts on, so you'll know what that looks like. First, the passage of scripture that was just read by Brandon is where we started, and most of the issues there are character concern, who the person is that is going to be qualified to serve and to lead the church as a pastor, overseer, or elder. And so we walk through what it means to be above reproach, what it means to be someone who is married, how you conduct yourself inside your marriage, to be self-controlled, respectable, sensible, what you do with your money, what you do in terms of alcohol, not given to much wine, how you treat other people with gentleness, not being quarrelsome with the way that you think and believe and the beliefs that you hold, one who manages their household well, who controls their children. Come on. Just kidding. Walking through that, though, and the trajectory of that, and does somebody want to grab? Yeah. Does she feel comfortable passing her off so she can be in here if Brenda sits back there? She can see. I just don't want her to miss it. And then furthermore, having a good reputation among those outside of the church as well. And so that's where we started. In the middle of that there's the qualification that says able to teach. And part of that understanding of able to teach later on in that passage and in other epistles to Paul is talking about having sound doctrine. What do you believe about certain aspects? And so, again, I'll just let you in on a little bit of what those were. So, for Chris's sake, he was in the hot seat. He had to answer these questions, and they went to this effect, walking through different doctrines or different understandings and beliefs about the nature and everything of Christianity. So what he believes about the Bible, the nature of how God has talked to us, has revealed himself to us, what he believes about the Bible, what he believes about God, both in the form of the Trinity, but God the Father specifically, then God the Son, then the God, the Holy Spirit, how each one of those is a person of the Trinity, who they are in their essence, nature, and in their work. What he believes about man and sin, had to answer that question. What it means to be a New Testament church, what does that look like? What is the mission of the church, was next. Then we talked about the ordinances inside of the church, so both the leadership of the church and then what the ordinances of the church are, their significance. What it means to personally lead someone to Christ, give an example of that, what that entails, how he not only has done that in the past, but will do that in the future. Beliefs about tithing and Christian stewardship, beliefs about heaven and about hell, about the second coming of Jesus Christ. And then we got into some other questions about what that means to be on a church leadership team, what you can believe and what you can't, what you can disagree on and what you can't disagree on, why you can disagree on those things. And underneath each one of those, we were asking Chris for biblical support, why he believes the things that he does, how he backs that up with different aspects of Scripture. Finally, we concluded it with more personal aspects. So what are you doing to guard your own heart and your own life in Scripture? How are you meditating, spending time in God's Word? How are you praying, thinking about the things of God, serving in fellowship, being accountable to other people, and things like that. And so he went through a serious set of questions that takes to light what Brandon just read, and that is that the calling to be a pastor is a noble calling. It is a calling that is a high calling of God, and the stakes are extremely high. We've seen what's at stake eternally when pastors give their life out for the sake of the gospel, and you know that because you've experienced that in your own life. You've been affected by people who have done that, and the gospel has come to you as a result of somebody doing that, encouraging the church to act like the church and to act like disciples of Christ. And so I just wanted to let you know that that's what happened in the ordination council itself. And everyone was fully on board at the end with affirming Chris Wells to the ordination of gospel ministry. And we wanted to ask that the church would affirm that as well tonight on behalf of the ordination council. And so if you're in agreement with the word of the council, would you just say a hearty amen? Amen. All right. Well, we're going to celebrate that by standing and singing a song together. So one of Chris's professors, Professor Lewis, is here, and he's going to lead us in hymn number two, Holy, Holy, Holy. One of the things that we wanted to do is let you hear a little bit of what it is the council was able to hear. And so I've asked Chris if he would just come and just share briefly about how he came to know the Lord, but then his calling to ministry as well. So he's going to share with you just here for a second.
I became a Christian in third grade after hearing the gospel preached at Vacation Bible School and understanding that my sin separated me from God and that I needed a Savior, Jesus. And so after confessing Christ and praying to receive Him as my Savior, I began walking with the Lord. And it was really in seventh grade, my youth minister began to disciple me. So I believe I was a true believer, but I wanted to grow in study God's word for myself. And so we started meeting on Thursday mornings and going through the Bible together and learning how to have a quiet time and this sort of thing. And that was a huge moment of growth for me as a Christian as I met with my youth minister, Rob. Also, during my time in high school, I began to lead the music for the youth group. I played guitar, and on our Wednesday night services, I began to lead the singing for that and absolutely loved it. I went off to college and worked a camp called Center Kid, so I was receiving affirmation from my local church, but then also the affirmation of those adult sponsors that came with campers to this Christian camp, and as well as affirmation from the church that I joined in college, Hunter Street Baptist Church. So all of that came together, and when I made the choice to surrender my life to God's ministry and his service, I knew that the next step would mean seminary. And so after that, I came up here to Southern Seminary, and you guys know the rest of the story. It's been an absolute joy to be able to serve and to minister here at Vine Street and to have my giftings and calling tested and affirmed. It's just been truly wonderful, and I'm so grateful. And thank you all for being here at this service.
All right, there's two other things that... two other things that we wanted to do just as a part of this short time together. One is to look to God's word and to charge Chris and Lord on, but even our church in this task that he's doing to do. And then at the end, we want to spend some time in prayer together. And we see that as God is setting aside leaders of the church in the New Testament, one of the things that they do is they come together and they pray for. They give power to the ministry they're hoping that they will see happen through prayer. And so we're going to close out the service by doing that. But first, let me just make some quick remarks and then read something out of 1 Peter chapter 5. At the close of the time with the council, I wish I would have thought to have a recorder, really more for your sake than anyone else's. But it was just a time where we were able to affirm Chris and who he is, who God has made him to be, the person of skill and doctrine that he has become through his professors and his education pouring into him, what those things look like. As that started happening, I started taking some quick notes. So I want to start with that. The order that they went in were beginning with his character, who he is as a man of God, that he is who he says he is. And how encouraging and challenging that is. Secondly, is his skill both in doctrine, his understanding of God's word, the way the world is put together, the way that we as human beings are wired up, and the way to connect those things back together through the gospel, through the work of Christ. And then his skill as a both a music leader and as a pastor and a teacher, how he's grown and inside of this church and other opportunities he's had to do ministry. Next is inside of his marriage and his other relationships, of how he is being a model of what it means to be a man of God and to follow Christ, to be a disciple of Jesus inside of his relationships. It was just something that was affirmed and talked about as an encouraging, challenging thing. And then his growth inside of this church is evidenced from when he started to where he is now, and that he has taken strides both in his confidence in delivering the word of God to us and leading from music to understanding what it means to lead a church and to get a church on board with the mission of the church. And then finally, probably no greater affirmation than this, and that was that if I was going to lead a church, and this wasn't me, it's one of the other pastors, but if I was going to lead a church and was looking for anyone, you're the person that I know that I would want to go do that with, and what a word of affirmation that is to you, that's the way that those who know you well, not from a distance, but know you well, think about you and Lord on. 1 Peter chapter 5, there's this admonition here at the end that I just want to take a few minutes for us to think about tonight, that says, I'm gonna read the first five verses for us. Therefore, as a fellow elder and witness to the sufferings of the Messiah, and also a participant in the glory about to be revealed, I exhort the elders among you, shepherd God's flock among you, not overseeing out of compulsion, but freely, according to God's will, not for the money, but eagerly, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but as an example to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you younger men, be subject to the elders, and all of you clothe yourself with humility toward one another, because God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. A few words of charge to you tonight, Chris. As we've already said, and we've examined you for this reason, is we wanted to look into your life and into your doctrine. It is the responsibility of the church to affirm those inside of the church God is raising up, to see whether or not we put people in those leadership positions whose life and whose doctrine is honoring to God and is qualified according to the scriptures. This isn't a one-time thing, though. Even though this council and this church has affirmed that, this is an ongoing thing, and the scriptures calling you to watch your life and to watch your doctrine. Secondly, as we just read here in 1 Peter 5, be a shepherd to the church. Even as we know, we've announced this morning, you're leaving and going to Maine, to the people who are there, who are awaiting a new ministry partner and a new pastor of that church. Be a shepherd to them. Care for them. Get to know them. Love them. Know them by name. As a shepherd, you are embodying Christ, as it says later on, to be an example to them. What does it mean to be Christ-like? They're going to be looking around, and they're going to be looking to the pastors of the church. And they need to know that the way that you are living, obeying and following Christ, is how they are to obey and follow Christ as a model. That's one of the things it means to be a shepherd. And then finally, correct them and protect them. One of the chief roles we see throughout the Bible about what a shepherd does practically, and one of the reasons that I think God uses that imagery to help us who don't understand things well, is he gives us something to look at and say, "This, you know what a shepherd does? It keeps the sheep from running off the cliff, right? It takes them to places where there's food and not danger." That's what a pastor is called to do as well in their spiritual lives, is to lead them in a place like that. And so as God is calling you to shepherd the flock, I encourage you to care, to get to know them, to be Christ-like, and to correct and protect the church. Now also, Peter here says to not do this, to not have oversight or not lead out of compulsion. Let me remind everyone, and Chris and Loredan specifically, you don't have to be a pastor. Hopefully no one is making you feel called to ministry. No one is making you feel like you have to do this. It's not something you're doing out of a desire that you're being compelled to do this. The scripture says to do it eagerly and freely. The reason I think that God is calling pastors to do this eagerly and freely without some of these other qualifications is because that's where joy is found. Following Christ eagerly, not out of compulsion, not for the money, that's where joy is found. And if you're a minister of the gospel who's living in joy, then that bleeds over to your family. Your family finds joy in it. If it bleeds over to your family, it bleeds over to your church. Your church finds joy in it. They respond, and they are affected by why it is that you are doing what it is that you're doing. So as Peter encourages here and gives admonition to the church, let me do the same to you. For the sake of your family, for the sake of the church, for the sake of your own joy and walk with Christ, do not oversee, do not become a pastor out of compulsion, not for money's sake, but eagerly and freely. And then finally, here at the end, not lording it over those it appears, but serving them. The opportunity to be in a leadership position, to make decisions for people, comes with and can come with moving your heart towards pride. And we know from this scripture, verse 5, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So as you serve the church with deep humility. Model that for them. And the Lord will reward you. It says here the reason, this kind of hope that he's holding out, because anyone who's been in ministry long or any statistic you read, people are jumping out of ministry left and right. They're failing out morally. They're experiencing fatigue. They run out of steam. Their church is split. They get kicked to the side. It's very easy for anyone who's called to ministry to be pushed out to the side. Everything is fighting against that. But the thing that Peter here is causing the elders of the church to keep their eye on is what? He's calling them to persevere inside of their ministry. Why? Because, in verse 4, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Becoming a pastor, being ordained into the ministry, God wants you to keep your eyes and your heart focused on Jesus, knowing that you're working for him and that one day he's going to return for his church. And when he does, those who have led and been elders and leaders inside of the church will receive the unfading crown of glory. And they will be the means that God uses for others inside of the church to know what it means to walk with Christ, to become disciples of Jesus, and to receive the crown of glory as well. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have a short time of prayer with Chris and Laura Dawn up here in front. So please join me as I pray. Lord, it's with love and thankfulness in our hearts tonight that we look to your scripture and receive this admonition to those who want to be leaders inside of the church. And for Chris tonight, Father, we pray that your word would guard his life, that he would plant his feet in it and nothing else, that he would look to you, that he would be filled with hope and faith, that the chief shepherd will return one day, and with him, he's bringing an unfading crown, something that that no pleasure or desire of this world can touch or can compete with. And so, Lord, I pray you would give him an eternal perspective on the ministry that you're calling him to do. Lord, we pray you would guard his life and his doctrine, guard his marriage, guard Laura Dawn, keep them from the attacks of Satan, who will try to sideline them and put them into a place of being disqualified for ministry. So we just pray you'd encourage their hearts. Father, protect them and help them to carry out the fruit of the Spirit in the ministry that you've called them to do. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. If you guys want to join us up front here, we're going to, those of you who are on the council, if you want to join me up here. And then I know some of the professors have asked if you guys would come and just say a quick word of prayer. We'll move this.